CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always do, every weekday afternoon at this time, as we wrap up this week on this Friday. And so, once again, I'd sure like to invite you to church this Sunday. We meet at the River Christian Fellowship, just outside Twin Falls, on the way to Shoshone Falls, the Niagara of the West. Just follow the signs. It'll lead you right to the church, and I'd love to see you here. We're going to be looking at, again, Acts chapter 19, where Jesus said to his disciples, go to the upper room and wait. And so we pick up the story there in chapter 19, where Paul, coming across some disciples, he said, since you believe, have you been filled with the Spirit? And they said, we haven't even heard of any such Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to talk about that again this Sunday. So look forward to being with you. If you're unable to attend in person, 10:30 Mountain Time, and of course in person, 10 o'clock, as we get together, worship the Lord, and study His Word together. Now, again, one of the things that we always have and we look forward to is answering questions each and every weekday afternoon. If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, please call us. We'll do our very best to answer those questions for you, because, again, when you're well-equipped, you're going to be able to meet those challenges that come to you. So, again, 8888, ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And with that, might as well go ahead and go to the phones. We have Cheryl on the line in Reno, Nevada. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. My question is, Catholics believe that Mary, Jesus' mom, was a virgin after the birth of Christ. They also believe that she had no other children. So my question, I'm wondering how they justify that. And I'm also curious what type of birth they believe that Mary had.
Well, I'm not sure about that part, but we do know that absolutely Jesus did have real brothers and real sisters, and we find that found for us actually in two places in the Bible. We find it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, and I'll just read the verse. And while Jesus was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. So very clearly, Jesus had real brothers. That's also found in the book of John as an example, in chapter 19:21, and it also talks about his brothers and sisters in John 2:12, as well as chapter 7:3-5. So it is very obvious that he had. Now, to simply obliterate God's word is something that is one of the reasons why I have problems with the Catholic faith, because they change or delete what they don't agree with. Can't do that. And so why they continue to hold up that Mary is a virgin is not true. And so it's obvious in Scripture. Follow the Bible. There's no wiggle room here. It's absolute. So I hope that sheds some light on it for you, Cheryl.
Yes, it does. I was just curious if they, you know, what they did believe in the birth itself. So, because I looked online and couldn't really find anything either. So,
well, they did.
Interesting.
Yeah, they did this with the Ten Commandments as well, where the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments, in the first four, thou shalt not make any graven images, they eliminated it. Just get rid of it, because they have graven images everywhere, of course. So we just changed the Bible to suit our own belief. And so they eliminated that and then took the 10th commandment and divided it in two, so therefore they remain with a 10 commandments. But nobody has that liberty to do that. Not the Catholic Church, not the Pope, no religious organizations. God's word stands, and that's what we go by. Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If our religion, our personal beliefs, do not line up with the Bible, we are wrong. That's all there is to it. And, you know, when we come to Christ, man, I'll tell you, I found a lot of things wrong that I was doing. So this is how God changes us from the inside out. But to simply eliminate verses that don't meet your theology or require you to change, that's where you're in error, not the Bible. And so just to caution everyone, God's word is the authority, not man. So Cheryl, yeah, I hope that helps. And again, you can check that out. Again, let me give those verses again, because I think they're so important, that speak of Jesus and his family. Luke 8, 19 through 21. We have John 2, 12, and John 7, 3, and verse 5. And then, of course, Matthew 12, 46. All of those speak that Jesus, in fact, did have siblings. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. That's what the Bible says. We just leave it at that. Cheryl, hope that helps. Stay online. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Really good. If you like it, you need more of them, let me know. I'll send you some more. Always good to give away, because it really outlines what being a Christian is. It just takes the Bible verses and makes it so people who really don't know who Christ is can understand their need for a Savior, and those verses that point them to the greatest Savior mankind has ever known or will ever need. Stay in line, Cheryl. We'll get those things taken care of. Get any more questions, be sure to call us. Let's go to Michael in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Yeah, I had actually a few questions. I'll start with the first question. So free will, do we have, I had a coworker asking this question. I'm not sure how to answer the question. Do we have free will, or is it just an illusion?
Oh, absolutely we have free will. It's all the way through the Bible.
Okay.
Joshua said, choose this day who you will serve. Very clearly, that's a decision-making process that we do. Now, something, Michael, we have to remember is just because God knows the future doesn't stop us from making the decisions that we make today. In other words, I can't fault God because he knows the decisions I'll make. I can't do that. Now, this is one of the reasons why I think it's important when we accept Christ as our Savior, we begin to ask God to chart our life for us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's why it's important. And then God already knows that we're going to do that. God does not learn. And this is a mistake that oftentimes we as humans look at God thinking that he's learning on some kind of linear level that, oh, he's going to figure all this out. No, God already knows the end from the beginning, beginning from the end. This is found in Revelation chapter 1, all the way through the Old Testament, Revelation chapter 22. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. God does not live in time like we do. He lives in all times present. I don't know what that's like. Everything I know has a date attached to it, but God doesn't live like that. And so just because God knows the decisions you, me, any one of us will make, when that happens, that doesn't stop us from making those decisions. Now, I do believe when a person accepts Christ as their Savior, I believe that God then straightens out a lot of the bad decisions that we would have made had he not come into our life. That's why today's the appointed day of salvation. So yes, I absolutely believe that we have free will. Now, does that answer your question?
Well, can I ask a few
other
questions?
Sure, go ahead. You fire away.
Basically, my coworker's asking a whole bunch of questions, and I don't really know how to give a good answer. The other one, he subscribes to the Black Hebrew Israelites movement.
Yes.
And he's claiming that the Jews that are in Israel today are not the real Jews, that the Jews in the past were from Africa, not Europe.
That's false.
And so...
Yeah, okay. It's very, very, very clear if you read the Bible that Abram, when God called him out, said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, change his name to Abram. He was Middle Eastern descent. Now, he wasn't from Europe, the white race, but he was from the Arabs, basically that lineage of people. And so he was not black whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, though, something interesting, we do find that when Zipporah died, Moses married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman, in the latter part of his life. So that is kind of an interesting picture that we find there. But no, clearly the lineage of Christ was, and remember that Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham, King David, all those that we read about, the lineage of Christ that we find in the book of Luke, the lineage of Mary going to Jesus, the lineage of Jesus in Matthew is Joseph's lineage. And the reason why that's listed, people say, well, if God's really his father, why is Joseph's lineage? Because that gave Jesus a legal right to the throne, that one of the descendants of David would be on the throne forever. And so you can actually trace that this is exactly what happened. So not only do you find the blood lineage of Christ in Luke, but you find the legal lineage in Matthew. Now, what's important about that, Jesus was in Nazareth. They went to throw him off the cliff. They didn't like what he was saying. And the Bible says he disappeared into the crowd. I think it's really important that we understand this, because very clearly they were not black people. Otherwise, the Bible would have said, and they yelled, get the black man. But they didn't do that. Get the guy with the white skin. They didn't do that. Get the guy that glows in the dark. They didn't do that. Get the guy with the halo. Didn't do that. He said he looked like everybody else at that time. The Bible says there was nothing comely about the Lord. He wasn't like so good looking that you just fall in love with him. It says there was no comeliness in him that we would desire him. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to win a beauty contest. He came to be a sacrificial lamb to die for all of our sins. So, Michael, I think that's really, really an important thing. Otherwise, Jesus, being of the lineage of the tribes of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, would have been easily spotted and would not have been. The other thing, when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, it says, well, how do we know which one is him? He will be betrayed by a kiss. Again, get the one with the halo. Get the one that's white. Get the one that's black. Get the one that's glowing in the dark. None of those things. He looked like just an average person of the day in the Middle East. So he wasn't black. So I hope that helps, Michael.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure. Keep asking.
So another one is dealing with miracles. Do miracles happen today, or are they people getting healed, you know, like from cancer and other ailments? Is it just the advancement in medical, or is that a sign that miracles are actually still occurring today?
Oh, miracles still occur today. Miracles did not start in the book of Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the 120 in the upper room. The Bible says that miracles are all the way through the Bible, whether you look at Moses or Elijah or Elisha, miracles are everywhere in the Bible. And miracles are everywhere today, but most people don't live outside of their comfort zone to need a miracle. I always ask people this: what is one thing you're doing in your life for the kingdom of God that requires you to have a miracle? And most people don't, because we like our comfort zone. I don't like to step out. I could be a missionary and go overseas, but, you know, I might get killed. Yeah, that's a possibility. Certainly it happened to people in the Bible. But at the same time, we also see supernatural, amazing miracles that happen to those people that laid their life on the line for the cause of Christ. I believe those things are still happening today. I've seen God heal people. I know God does that. And sometimes with doctors, but a lot of times without doctors, just divine healing. God's in the healing. God's still in the miracle working business, and healing's one of the things that he does. So, Michael, I hope that helps.
I think so. Thank you so much for your comments.
Yeah, Michael, you go look at Hebrews in the Bible, Hebrews 13:8. And there it says something really amazing. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same miracle-working Jesus that walked this earth there in Israel 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that's doing miracles today and will in the future. And so, again, I believe it's so important that we understand so many people, and even in the Christian world, their God is much, much too small. But we have a God that's greater than anything. And always remember, you and God in any situation is a majority, because that's just the way God works. Stay in line, Michael. I'll send you a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And if you need more of them, please let me know. I'll be glad to give them to you for your friends at work, okay?
Yep. Thank you.
Michael, great. And if you get any more questions, you call me anytime, all right? You're always welcome here. Joining me today, special guest, Brad Dacus, attorney at law. He operates an organization called PJI.org, and they represent people like you and me against unfair laws, county, city, state, federal laws that are unfair. And Brad, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Pastor Mike.
Glad. I know you're a very, very, very busy man, and I'm so glad you've joined us, and looking forward to answering some questions with you. So let's just go right back to the phones. We have Debbie on the line, Gallup, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
This is me.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I'm cooking an egg right now.
Oh, well,
anyway.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Okay, when does the abomination of desolation supposed to start? I mean, is that right after the rapture or right before the rapture?
No, the abomination which makes desolate is a very important time marker in the tribulation period, because you're about 3.5 years into the tribulation. Now, we know in Revelation chapter 6, there's a man going out conquering into conquer. He's on a white horse. He has a bow with no arrows. He tries to unite the world in a diplomatic manner, bow with no arrows. But when those nations that will not capitulate, then the fiery red horse goes out, and by force, he forces them into this new one world order. Well, it's not going to be the dawning of the age of Aquarius, everyone. It isn't going to be John Lennon, no heaven above us, no hell below us, above us only sky, and the world will be as one. Well, it will be, but it isn't sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and everything. It's going to be quite a violent time. In fact, Revelation 6 says, for the Antichrist to bring this world under a one world order, one quarter of the world's population die. That's about 2 billion people. Now, people were stymied over the COVID thing, or, oh, a million people globally died. Well, that's nothing compared to what this one world order is going to cost. And one quarter of the world's population die. That's in Revelation chapter 6. So the Antichrist begins his reign. We know that he is going to be doing what he wants to do 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Now, you can go back to Daniel chapter 9 concerning this final week, this final 7-year period of time. And the Bible says halfway through this 7-year period of time, this God dealing with his nation of Israel and God judging the world, 3.5 years, he breaks his covenant with Israel, and this is the abomination which makes desolate. Now, the Bible tells us either himself, he puts a picture of himself, or he himself goes into the temple and declares to the world he is God. part of uniting the world into a one-world order, he makes a one-world religion called, well, I don't know what you're going to call it, Chrislam or coexist, whatever it might be. Christians can never enter into this because the Bible tells us as Christians, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So all the other religions of the world, according to Jesus Christ, are bogus. You have to remember that. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And I think it's always interesting. Sometimes when people, I'll say, well, you know, what do you think? Oh, Jesus, he was a great teacher. Yeah, he was one of the greats. You know, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus. Like, well, have you read what Jesus said? Well, yeah, you know, that whole love groove together thing. Yeah, you know, Jesus, he was a love master, yeah. No, I mean, did you ever read where he said nobody goes to heaven except through him? He's the only way man can be saved. Jesus said that in the garden as well. If there's any other way man can be saved, let this cup pass from me. And he died on the cross. So now either Jesus is God and the supreme sacrifice, or he's a liar. And if he's a liar, then he can't be a good teacher like Buddha, Mammon, and all the others. So what is he? And see, all of a sudden that takes it out. Well, this is why Christians cannot be assimilated into a Chrislam or a coexist type of mentality. So the Antichrist, 3.5 years. Now, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 9, which works hand in hand with the book of Revelation, this 70th week of Daniel, it's a seven-year period of time, seven-week period of time that God deals with the nation of Israel to fulfill his promise. Israel has forgotten God, but God has not forgotten Israel. Again, replacement theology, where God is done with the nation of Israel, extremely dangerous teaching, because the Bible will make no sense prophetically if you buy into that baloney, because that's what it is. God is not done with the nation of Israel. Paul tells us, and again, when you look at his writings, very clearly, God's not done with the nation of Israel. We were grafted into them. They weren't grafted into us. And right now, they're in rebellion to God. But you know, the Bible says he will deal with them that final seven-year period of time, and they will, at the end, come to the understanding that Jesus is Messiah. And the Bible says they will mourn for him like as for an only son. They'll realize what they did to him. That all those prophecies in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, all the ones that pertained to who Jesus is, their eyes will finally be opened. The spiritual pride that we're God's chosen people, though we don't care even about God in any way, that's going to be gone, and they're going to recognize who Christ is. So it's very possible that this treaty, that this man of peace makes with Israel, may probably, and I believe it is, over allowing them to build their temple there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, Israel, currently occupied by the Arabs. I think when he's able to pull this off, the world's going to herald him as the great man of peace. Finally, a Middle Eastern solution for all the problems that have plagued mankind for 2,500 years. And he's going to be called the man of peace. And for the first 3.5 years, he befriends Israel. Maybe while they're building their temple, that he gave them some kind of a big treaty he signs. Daniel 9 tells us. And then maybe as they begin the sacrifices and everything, they have the grand dedication, going to dedicate it to God. And then the Antichrist shows up and says, no, you're going to dedicate it to me because I'm God. Jesus talked about this. He said, don't even go back in your house to get your coat. Run and run fast. Now, up to just 75, 80 years ago, now with the advent of surface air missiles, I believe the Antichrist is going to be very much aware that Israel is going to reject him being called God by them. The rest of the world's going to go along with it, but Israel's not. And I believe this is why Jesus says, run, don't even go back into your house to get your coat. Well, people oftentimes in this replacement theology junk say, well, this happened in 70 AD when Titus, a Roman general, came in and besieged the city of Jerusalem. Let me tell you, that took weeks to do. And the final holdout for many of them was the temple. That wasn't immediate. And so understanding this, and very quickly to understand this whole scenario, I believe the Antichrist is not going to suffer global humiliation when the very group of people that he made a peace treaty with so they could build their temple then is rejected by him. This man, the whole world is calling the great man of peace. The Bible says he retaliates swiftly upon them. So swiftly, don't even go back in your house to get your coat. Run. That did not happen in any way, shape, or form in 70 AD, but it's going to happen in the future. So 3.5 years in, most likely it's during the temple dedication. We don't know that for sure, but it appears that might be what it is. And then the world enters the last 3.5 years where the Bible goes on. Jesus says in Matthew 24, unless there's those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. Man would have completely annihilated himself. So not a very, but thank God, God intervenes. He comes back, splits the sky. The battle of Armageddon is stopped. Jesus comes back and makes war with these people that came into the Valley of Megiddo to war with each other. They all turn from fighting each other and decide to fight Jesus instead. And Jesus annihilates all of them. He comes back, sets up his 1,000-year reign. We as Christians, those that died as martyrs during the tribulation, the Bible says, will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then we go into our eternal home there in the New Jerusalem. So it's going to be pretty grand, but the abomination which makes desolate is a very important time because that's when everything basically stops in Israel and they head for the hills. This is where it talks about they go to the Red Rock City. Most people believe it's Petra and God protects them there. We're going to talk more about this on the other side. Brad, I want your input on this. And again, we're coming upon that break. We'll be right back right after this.
I did discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two, and I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. So the ultrasound is still the deal.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon as we wrap up this week with Brad Dacus from PJI.org, attorney at law and his firm, representing people like you and me, free from unfair businesses, practices, laws, city, state, local, federal laws that many times will cost a person their job. You know, Brad, you've represented so many people who lost their job over refusing to take the COVID vaccine. And now we're finding out those people that refuse to take it are alive. And many of the people who took that vaccine are have permanent damage to their bodies. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so many people also have died from the vaccine. I remember I went to my doctor and the nurse says, oh, I can see you haven't had the vaccine, COVID. And I said, absolutely not. I said, it's just done so much harm to so many people. And then she paused and she said, and she already started watering. She said, well, yeah, actually my 27-year-old son, right after he got it, his nose started bleeding. He went to the hospital and less than 2 weeks later, he's dead. And she walked out. And it's very real. And people know people who've suffered from it. And we are just so glad that God has enabled us to defend and protect so many people. Hundreds of thousands were impacted by our litigation, our cases across the country, to not have to take the vax in order to put bread and butter on the table or to finish college or stay in the military. So, we're actively involved, and we're still taking on and representing many people on these issues. These are just one of the examples of what we do at PGI to defend religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life, and we do it all without charge by God's grace.
Amen. So what a wonderful opportunity there that we have. And so if you have a legal question, today's a good day to call. Won't cost you $500 an hour, and I know Brad will be glad to answer that call for you. When we went to the break, we were talking with Debbie in New Mexico about what is the abomination which makes desolate. And of course, 3.5 years into the tribulation period, this is where the Antichrist, who made a deal with Israel, most likely to build their temple. We don't know for sure, but it appears that way. And then halfway through, he declares from that temple that he's God. The Jewish eyes are open. They realize they have been duped by this guy. Jesus said, don't even go back in your house to get your coat. Run. Now, up to, like I say, 85, 100 years ago, you'd have several days to leave. But with the advent of surface-to-air missiles, retaliation will be, I believe, very swift. And I believe that this would have probably been an impossible prophecy, even up to probably 100 years ago. But now with the advent of rockets, I believe that when Jesus said, get out fast, don't even go back in to get your coat, that did not happen in 70 AD. That conquest took weeks and weeks for them to finally conquer the city of Jerusalem. So, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, one thing I like about this, the scripture, is it parallels the rest of the Word of God with regards to the fact that God is omnipotent, He's all powerful, and His will be done, no matter how great the threat, whether it's to the Israel or to the survival of the church. God has overcome insurmountable odds and threats and challenges by those and satanic forces who wish to attack what he's trying to do, attack his kingdom, attack what he's the miracle he's doing through humans throughout history and today. And this just another example of how even the greatest of darkness pounding against God and the people of God, or the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, no matter how great all of these forces are, they still cannot defeat the Lord. And why the take home of this is, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you've made him your Lord and Savior, you have that same God, that same protector, that same liberator, that same one that you can put your trust in no matter what you're facing in life, no matter how great it is. And that's why I love how God just really, in the scriptures and in Revelation, what will come to pass, will once again demonstrate that he alone is God, and we can put our trust completely in him, because nothing is too great or to thwart his will and his righteousness and his kingdom.
So I hope that answers it for you.
Yes.
Pastor, you were talking about COVID right now, and a lot of my family, I didn't take the COVID, neither did my son. But my kids did because they had to, it was mandatory. So I just want you to pray for them.
Well, absolutely, because again, we're finding now lots of, a friend of mine works at the hospital here locally. I said, well, probably about 8-9 months ago. I said, what's it doing in the COVID thing right now? And he said, the only ones we're treating are the ones that got vaccinated, end quote.
Right.
And so pretty serious stuff. It's very sad. It was pencil whipped through. We know a lot of people made billions of dollars on this. And, you know, I don't know why Biden would give Fauci a pardon, but that in itself is pretty suspicious. Yeah. But we know that a lot of people, I mean, Brad, you have seen this firsthand of what happened to people. The consequences of that shot.
Yeah, there's so many people that I know personally, as well as professionally, because of my work, that have been impacted by the COVID vax. Whether it's neurological, myocarditis, immune system issues, etc. It has been terrible. I'm just glad we have an administration and JFK, RFK Jr., who is really going out of their way to really get the truth all completely out there so that people can understand that. And it was a tremendous breach of trust. But we do have the Lord that we can trust, and we do have a God that can overcome the evil acts of man for their own sort of game. And so let's I like just to pray for them right now, as was if we can. Father,
sure.
Right now, Lord, we lift up, Father, all of those people around the world, not just the United States, who are duped, deceived, whatever, to take a vaccine that wasn't even really a vax, but we know it was man created, and it's caused tremendous harm to so many. Father, we pray for your grace. Pray for you to be glorified in the situation, as people are. Many people don't have problems or symptoms that are there right now, seemingly, but we pray, Lord, for your healing, but also for your use us to draw people to you, and to put their trust in you, and to look to you for guidance, and not to go it on their own or just simply follow man. Let this be a lesson that we have to seek you, Father, and your guidance. Thank you for those who did listen to your Holy Spirit miraculously around the world and in the United States. And we pray that you'll continue to be glorified and help all those also, Lord, who are still suffering from their loss of jobs. We pray for quick and swift victories in these many cases we're handling across the country as well. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Debbie, our prayers are with you, dear.
Yes, thank you so much.
God bless you, dear. Stay in line if you like. Send you out Time to Grow. A couple other things you might enjoy. And again, we just really always encourage you to keep shining bright for Jesus. Let's go to T, Sparks, Nevada. Hi, welcome. Hello.
Michael.
Yes, hi. Hello?
Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah. How can we help?
Actually, this isn't for me, although I often find it is in a roundabout way, in the Lord's way. So on my heart right now, I hear you constantly being bombarded with people that have questions. And I would like to know if you're comfortable with sharing what you've been seeking the Lord on. What do you need clarity on? That's what's on my heart.
Well, you know, I believe that we are living at the very end of man's futile efforts to govern himself. I see it globally. I don't think you have to be even a very good Christian, or maybe not even a Christian at all, to look at the doomsday clock, the nuclear doomsday clock, and see that it's just a few seconds before annihilation. I think everybody knows that. And so what I want God to do in my life, as I believe he's been doing something new in me over the last couple of months, is really showing me, God, I want to do what you want me to do. We're running out of time, And I know the fields are white with harvest, the labors are few. What do you want me? What do you want us to do? How can you inspire me that I may inspire others? When you stop to realize that 40% of this earth has never heard about Jesus, the fields truly are white with harvest, the laborers are few. Jesus said to pray that God would send laborers in. I want to do that. Now, why would I need to pray that God would send laborers into a field white with harvest? I mean, why doesn't he just do it? Because this is not our Father's world. Oh, there's an old hymnal song from years ago, but if you check it theology-wise, it ain't very right on. This world was given into the hands of Satan. Show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time in Luke chapter 4. All the kingdoms are mine. Mine to whomever I want to give them to, if you'll bow down and worship me. What did Jesus come to do? Redeem the kingdom of the world. Satan offered him a shortcut. You don't got to go to the cross and die. Peter said to him, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So when we really look at this, we realize that we're running out of time. And these kingdoms of the world do belong to the devil. And when we pray as ambassadors of God on this earth, that I carry a dual residence, I live on this earth and I'm a resident of heaven. And I pray, Lord, will you please send laborers in to the field white with harvest? We give God, the Holy Spirit, in Satan's world permission to go reach the world. And I believe that. And I believe this is why we pray for all kinds of things. Because, you know, the world was given it. You know, when Satan said that to Jesus, all the kingdoms mine whoever I want to give them to, if you'll bow down and worship me, Jesus said, oh, hold it, devil. No, they're not. They're really my Father's. And no, he didn't say that. He acknowledged that. Got him in a square deal in the garden. You know, who's your daddy? God says, don't eat of the tree. Satan says, eat of the tree. Who are you going to choose? Well, man chose foolishly and been paying a consequence ever since. So that's the way I look at it. So what do I want God to do in my life? You know, God, just to keep me from playing on the wrong side of the fence. You know, wasting time is playing on the wrong side of the fence. Man, there's so many things that can take our heart affections away from the things of God. And so no matter what we do, and this is for all of us, does that mean we just become Jesus robots? No. Whatever we do, eating dinner in a restaurant, standing in a line in a grocery store, whatever it is we do, we bring Jesus into that situation. Have an eye for the kingdom of heaven. If you see somebody in the store crying, maybe walk up and say, hey, you okay? Let me pray for you. You know, you can do that. I've done this a lot in my life. I've never had anybody say, oh, no, don't pray for me. When I see somebody crying in a store, there's usually a reason, and they need help. Yeah. And it might just be one of those ultra dynamic divine appointments that God arranged. But if I'm not looking for God, if I'm doing my own thing, hey, I just care about my beef steak here in the restaurant. Rather than look around that every single thing we do is an opportunity for Christ, I don't want to miss any. That, to you, is what I'm really looking for. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree 100%. In fact, I heard a great sermon at my church along those same lines of how are we looking through the world through our lens of interests and concerns or finances or relationships? You know, are we looking at it in that regard, or are we looking at it in terms of God's perspective? You know, when we pull out of that driveway, are we saying, "Oh God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your creation," and then have our eyes open to those that the Lord might want us to say to connect with, to meet with. I travel a lot on airplanes. I just flew in today from San Jose, and 2 days before that was Boston. And I will tell you, airplane flights are the greatest opportunity, one of the greatest opportunities in my life, to share Christ with people, and to connect with them. But it's so easy. There have been times that I just was in my own little world, and I missed those opportunities. And so it's a real challenge, but we really want the joy of the Lord to the max in our lives. I think it's directly measured to the extent to which we acknowledge God to the max in our lives and what we do, especially when it comes to people and those around us. So I think it's a great word, and I think it's a wonderful reminder.
So I hope that helps, and T, hope that answers your question concerning, I believe, where all of us need to be, that God would cause us to become ultra-sensitive to His Spirit.
Yes.
When you feel an unction from God, real quick, if you see somebody crying in a store or sitting on a park bench crying, and you feel an unction saying, go pray for that person. Well, I really don't know if I should. You know, they might say no. Well, if they say no, they say no. But if you see somebody crying on a bench, well, maybe that's the devil telling me. I don't think the devil is going to be telling you to go pray for somebody. It's God. And right. So learning to hear right. Know our daddy's voice, so important. T, I hope that helps.
Hey, Michael, the question wasn't actually for me. It was, what were you seeking for clarity on from the Lord? That's what's been on my heart for you.
Well, thank you. And like I said earlier, I clarity is, I want to be where God wants me to be. You know, somebody asked me, what do you struggle with? Well, getting older is a real trip, ain't it, for anybody that's doing that? Hey, you know, you go out and do it. I still go out and do what I did, you know, 30 years ago, and I can do it. I pay for it the next day or the day after and the day after that sometimes. But no, we still do. But getting old's a drag, and we all know that. I struggle with that. I sometimes struggle with realizing that the ministry that God has entrusted to us here, myself, continues on. I've seen so many great ministries that actually today once touched everybody across America and the world, now are just in shambles. There's nothing left. The assets are being sold off, all this kind of stuff. It's so sad to see what these different organizations could not do to something, just the person who had the vision when he died is all gone away. It's so sad. But I really believe that what I want to see God do in my life is where He's brought me, I want to see that more. The miracle gifts that God has given, I want to see more of that in my life. So I really believe, T, that's where we're at least where I'm at, is to just grow more in love with Jesus every day. That's what I really believe, and that's what I try to encourage everybody, because I do believe time's short. When you're in love with God, you're going to hear His voice. We're going to be able to bring people into the kingdom. We don't know how long we've got, you know? Right. When you realize that it isn't just America or Russia that's got atomic bombs, North Korea, which is 30th poorest country on earth, now has atomic warheads. And they're dying of starvation. They haven't got nothing to lose. Give us what you got, or we're going to blow us all up. What are you going to do? They're going to die anyway. So you realize we're in a different place than we've ever been before. Of course, these suitcase atomic bombs that Russia produced that can wipe out several square miles in a city, kill literally millions of people, they're available. They're out there on the black market. So, again, I think we're in a different time than we've been before. And Paul says, since we can see all these things happening, what manner of people should we be? And that's what I want. So, T, I hope that helps and hope that answers your question.
All right, sir.
All right. Well, God bless you. Stay online if you like. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. It's a little book that I wrote that really just compiles Bible verses and what it's like. And if you need more of them in evangelism, please let me know. We just, I think, printed up another 9,000 of them or something like that. So anyway, we got a lot. You can help yourself to them. Let's go to Maria, Sacramento, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, yes, thank you for taking my call. This question is for Brad. It has to do with Assembly Bill 495. And Karen England from Capital Resource Institute sent me an email regarding several frequently asked questions about the bill. And one of the questions was, does this bill only affect kids in public schools? What about private and homeschooled children?
Yeah, this
and
is
the answer to that question.
Yeah, this is a bill that that has got many people really, really concerned. And Brad, you know, tell us about it, because a lot of people saying, oh, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. And when it's the undefined areas is where the devil can play. So your thoughts?
Oh, big time. I'm so glad you brought this up. It allows children to be effectively kidnapped, not just children in public schools, but also in private, and actually, depending on the circumstance, situation, also in homeschooling households. And basically what it says is, if you just have an affidavit, you know, a stranger or a person has an affidavit saying that they are have a mentor, not even have to be related to the child, but they have this like a mentor relationship with the child, and they say it in the affidavit, they can go to a school and hand it to the office and say, I'm here to pick up Susie. And that the law says, okay, they give the man's Susie. Do they call the parents? Do they have to call the parents? No. Do they have to call to get the affidavit approved and reviewed by a judge? No. Any background checks by the school districts of this person? No. It is a living nightmare. And so I encourage people. I'm going to be at the rally in Sacramento. I think it's from 1 to 2 o'clock. I don't know if I'm mistaken, maybe 1 to 3. But at least from 1 to 2 at the steps of the state capitol there in Sacramento, California. And it's a rally to get people motivated to put pressure on their legislators not to approve it, especially the state Senate. And then if it passes that, it goes to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. But this is, I look at this as the pro-pedophilia, human traffickers rights bill, if you will, because those are two groups I can easily see evilly taking advantage of this legislation. They say it's to help children stay in the United States when their parents are being deported. But no, it's not. The actual language is far beyond that. And also, even if it was, it still should have some checks and balances to make sure that the parents are being deported, or that the parents were contacted, and that this was the parents actually want. They want their child to stay here in America with this stranger. That's not even in there. So even if they narrowed it, it still has lots of problems. But the bottom line, it applies to every family in the state of California will be at risk for their child to be easily taken by someone that just fills out an affidavit, gives it to the person over the child, and they take the child. It is a nightmare, and I hope we need to hope and pray that it does not pass. If it does pass, we will see people leaving California at an even faster clip than is taking place right now.
Jack Hibbs said to leave now. If that passes.
Well, if it passes.
Yeah,
if it passes.
Because it is so bad, it gives parents no rights whatsoever over their children. And this is not acceptable. And so run quickly, because it is bad. And, you know, when you see this kind of wholesale wickedness by a particular party, I just sit back and say, who in the world? What demon is working within this to allow anyone to write up an affidavit and steal your kid? It's gone. You have no rights, moms, dads. See, you get the government that you vote for, and this ain't good. And Brad, you're in California. Again, you know the consequences of this.
Right. And California already has a law.
It's similar.
Children legally right now already can be kidnapped if the reason you kidnapped that child was because you wanted to help distort their gender with injections or body parts being cut off, then you're off the hook. You won't be prosecuted if that's the reason you kidnapped a child. Maybe you met him online, and even if you kidnapped him from another state, say Dallas, if you got him back to the state of California, the state of California by law will not punish that person and will ignore any judicial action by a judge in the state of Texas to get that child restored to the parents. It is evil. It's already law. And if anyone out there in the state of California is threatened in any way with regard to that legislation, maybe your child is online and is talking about possibly going out of state or being, you know, having this done with someone else helping them, please let us know, because we're looking for plaintiffs so we can challenge that law in court. And we're looking at this other, should it become law as well. We need to get let your voice be heard. The children need to hear our voices.
Yeah, for people who want to know more about this, it's California Bill AB 495. And look at Jack Hibbs. Jack Hibbs is on in about 30 minutes from now. You can see his comments on it as well. Thank you for being on. Look forward to being back with you all. Jerry, Donna, call us. We'll put you on first thing on Monday. God bless y'all. Good night.
Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.